ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 85, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Vasudeva, Text Number 15.
Guna Pravaha Etashmin Abudastva Hilatmana Katim Sukshman Habodhena Samsaranti hakarmadi, samsaranti hakarmavi,
dharma of the material modes, word for word.
Pravahe,
in the flow.
Etasmin,
this.
Abuddha,
those who are ignorant.
Tu,
but,
akilam,
of everything,
atmanam,
of the soul,
gatim,
the destination,
shukshman,
sublime,
abodena,
because of their lack of understanding,
samsaranti,
they move through the cycle of birth and death,
Iha,
in this world.
Karmavi,
forced by their material activities. Translation. They are truly ignorant who, while imprisoned within the ceaseless flow of this world's material qualities, fail to know you, the supreme soul of all that be, as their ultimate, sublime destination. Because of their ignorance, the entanglement of material work forces such souls to wander in the cycle of birth and death. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. A soul who forgets his true identity as a servant of God is sent to this world to be imprisoned in a succession of material bodies. Wrongly identifying himself with these bodies, such a conditioned soul suffers the consequent distress of karmic action and reaction. Vasudeva, as a compassionate Vaishnava, laments for the suffering conditioned souls whose happiness, the result of ignorance, can be remedied by knowledge of the principles of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitamina Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam phangun manjayati girin yakripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinitarina vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhirvacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya si krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhaktivinoda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama rama I've been asked today to speak about the life of Narottam Das Thakur, and as I looked at this particular verse we have for today, I thought about it. I thought this verse is the exact opposite of the life of Narottam Das Thakur. This verse deals with those persons who appear in this world due to their karma from previous births, as it says here, a succession of births and deaths. They appear in this world due to their previous karmic activities and the suffering that goes along with those. That's all of us. We do not come here by our own choice. We do not come here out of sublime service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to assist in his pastimes of spreading devotional service. We come here because we are ignorant fools. We have decided, the material world don't look half bad. I think I could have a good time there. Let's give it a run. Kind of like people who think they can run this country and try to get elected into that position. And then they get in there and realize, oh my God, what a nightmare. So, ignorant fools. So here we are. But as this mentions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be the ultimate sublime destination of such living entities. This is our real destination. This is our real purpose in life. And because we are ignorant, because we are foolish, because we are kalau sudra sambhava, particularly in this age, we don't know this. We don't have this understanding. And it is only by the grace of such amazing personalities, Srila Prabhupada and his acharya successors leading to Narottam Das Thakur, who appear in this world on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to wake us up, to bring us to the realization of, hey, come on, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra, that by chanting the name of Lord Gauranga, by engaging in the service of Lord Gauranga, by remembering Lord Gauranga, we can be delivered from our ignorant position. We can actually get out of this deeply suffering, entangling circumstance of karmic reaction, birth after birth after birth. We think we're having a good time. We're quite happy here. This is the epitome of our ignorance. So those personalities, as we'll speak about in Narottam Das Thakur, they come for the sole purpose of waking us up and dragging. Because you have to, when someone's resisting, you pull on them. And, you know, there's the classic cartoon scenario that we all grew up with where you've got somebody pulling somebody and their heels are dug in and the lines in the dirt are just getting dug deeper and deeper and deeper until they've dug this hole for themselves up to here and they just can't be pulled out of it. So our attachment to trying to enjoy this material world, our attachment to being satisfied and comfortable here, is shaken to its very foundation by the acharyas. This is the purpose of the acharyas, to shake to our very foundation everything that we hold near and dear, so that we will break out of it and resume devotional service to Lord Krishna. Well, I saw this verse and I thought this is such a perfect tie-in to the life of Narottam Das Thakur. I want to start with some wonderful prayers to Narottam Das Thakur. This is the Narottam Ashtakam. This is written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I'll just read the translations here. I am going to move at a very comfortable pace through this because we're going to continue this evening. We'll start just after the RT. So whatever we don't cover this morning, we'll finish the class for those of you that stay till the end with Charanamrita from the Abhishek this morning of Narottam Das Thakur's deities. Narottam Das Thakur had 8 Shilas, 4 Govardhan Shilas, 3 Shalagrams, and a Dwarka. And three of them have been residing in my home for the last 10 or so years. Along with that, we have a picture of Narottam, and then the articles from the place Premdwali, where Narottam received the blessings of Mahaprabhu, so we're about water, sand, and piece of the tree there. So with the mercy and blessings of Narottam Das Thakur, I offer respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a sincere follower of Lord Gaurangadev, emanating a shower of the nectar of the holy name with its splendor, the moon of his mouth destroys the darkness of ignorance. A wonderful analogy. Most everything that comes out of our mouth is by far not moon-like. Especially if we have the opportunity for the latest gossip or the newest information about so-and-so, and did you hear? You know, so we very much enjoy emanating these things from our mouth. But the moon-like mouth of Narottam Das Thakur emanates the pure shower of the holy name. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Blissful by singing Krishna's glories, he would become bathed in streams of perspiration, and the splendor of his teeth and gentle smile would illuminate all directions. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Hearing the mardangas and the sound of the holy name, he would dance, moving his enchanting lotus feet, and the hairs on his body stood erect in ecstasy. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. His dancing dispelled the Gandharva's pride. His devotional activities filled everyone with wonder. His songs made him famous. The Gandharvas, of course, are known for playing musical instruments, singing wonderfully, and dancing so enchantingly. If one sees the Gandharvas dance, it becomes spellbound. But the dancing of Narottam Das Thakur completely dissipates the pride of those Gandharvas at their own dancing. They have no more ability to, oh yes, I dance. Oh, Narottam, he dances. And we have many people in our modern age that become famous for what they sing. Of course, what they sing takes us back to this verse. It entangles them further and further in repeated births and deaths. And Narottam Das Thakur has become famous for his songs. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Gorkhasodas Babaji have instructed if one simply reads the songs of Narottam Das Thakur found in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, one's whole life will have perfection. This is fame from one's music. Not that everybody can sing your nonsense songs and you want a little gold statue. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He would sometimes faint in ecstasy and fall to the ground, his body decorated with dust. The very fortunate would get to see him in that way. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. In place after place, the splendor of his mercy uprooted the people's thirst for anything other than Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. His firm faith and devotional service to Krishna is like a necklace of precious stones. His touch is like a sparsimony jewel. His words are like the four Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. The devotees always wonder, is he devotional service personified? Is he the essence of renunciation who has descended to the world of human beings in this form? May the dancing of Sri Narottam Das Thakur's feet, which is graceful with the melodious sounds of kartals and mridangas, and which is sweet with the honey of Lord Gauranga, fulfill the spiritual desires of me, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his servant. And these are the prayers written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, glorifying Narottam in a way that completely describes all of his qualities and activities. But further, beyond that, Govinda Das Thakur has written one very nice book from his prayers called Padyavali. Glory, glory, glory to Narottam Das Thakur, a great king of spiritual love and devotion, a king whose prime minister is the youthful Ramchandra Kaviraj. King Narottam's crown is studded with the jewels of ecstatic spiritual love. On his body, the ornaments of devotional ecstasies glisten. In Ketarigram, he sits on a royal throne. The devotees are his royal assembly. Day after day, he studies, discusses, and lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam and the books of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. In the glistening nectar pastimes of the divine couple of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, he finds the sweetest bliss and happiness. Tasting the nectar of Sankirtan, he becomes wild with bliss. He does not consider what is materially pious and what is materially impious. Frightened, he flees from non-devotional yoga, charity, and vows. In the presence of fruitive actions and impersonal speculations, he weeps in sadness. The treasure of devotion described in the Bhagavad scriptures is the great goal he strives to obtain. Seeing the impure ideas of the followers of Sankhya, Mimamsa, material logic, and other non-devotional philosophies, he burns in unhappiness. I like this here. You know, we all are known for trying to obtain this, that, or the other. What a wonderful thing if it, oh yes, he's known because he strived to obtain the devotional treasure of the scriptures. He always stays far from the thieves that are the opponents of devotional service. He will not come near them. To the poor, fallen people, he gives the treasure of devotional service. This here again ties back into this verse for today from the Bhagavatam. that this is the activities of the great saintly persons. They have only the concern to give the treasure of devotional service to those of us that are bound in our ignorance of karmic reaction. But as the author Govindadas Thakur says, only to Govindadas does he not give this treasure. Only Govindadas has been cheated in this way. I've been very fortunate to be blessed with a taste for the lives of the Vaishnava Acharyas. It's actually kind of interesting. When I was a young man, a young boy, 10, 12 years old like that, I knew everything about all the Chicago gangsters. I grew up in the Midwest in St. Louis, and I knew everything about Legs Diamond, Babyface Nelson, you know, all of these guys. I knew their biographies and where they, how they did, what they're acting, and bum, 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 all of this. It was just something I fell into. I had books on it, books and books I'd read, and, you know, how they, this and that, and where they were assassinated, and where they were captured, and all these type of things. And I could talk to friends about it, you know. When I became considerably older, I started dwelling into the lives of the great classical composers. Not just, you know, what they wrote, but I mean all about them. How it was that Handel came to write the Messiah. And what the details were of the blindness that came to, a blindness that came to Beethoven. Things like this. Deafness. So this is just something I kind of fell into. And I could speak at great length about the composers and their music like that. In the early 1980s, I was living in New York City, and I was very fortunate to get one cassette tape. I know some of you, generation, won't even know what a cassette tape is, but it was our life and soul in the early days of ISKCON. And I got this one cassette tape of Vyasaki Prabhu speaking about the life of Narottam Das Thakur. Most people don't know this, but Vyasaki lived in what we call West Bengal, Bangladesh now, what was at the time East Bengal, for quite some period of time, many, many years ago, and was very knowledgeable about the pastimes of the Acharyas then. He told me himself when I started trying to plow and cultivate information out of him that he's long ago forgotten most of that. That's what happens if you don't talk about it. You know, when we were all brahmacharis, we knew so many verses, so many Bhagavad Gita slokas, and except for Pushkar, not many of us can quote that many anymore. So, if you don't use it, you lose it. So at any rate, this started me on a direction of the biographies of the Acharyas, and I felt that my natural inclination towards biographical histories had now been satisfied and fulfilled. Here again, this is the underlying principle of devotional service, that we don't have to change everything we do. We just Krishnaize it, as Prabhupada said, put Krishna in it. We have an inclination to some particular activity or some field of knowledge, we put Krishna in there. And by putting Krishna in there, then that becomes perfect. So somehow or another, I've been given the honor of being able to remember and know something about Vaishnava Acharyas and speak about them for some time. At that time in New York, one of the people I took a lot of inspiration from was Rupa Vilas, who was living out on Long Island at the time. And I would pay for his train fare to come into the Brooklyn Temple. Every day it was Haridas Thakur or Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami. And he would come in and do the lecture, and I would sit there meticulously taking notes. And of course, there was no internet connection so that everybody could sit home comfortably in their living room and listen. So this was part of the inspiration that got me going in some way. But I always really just felt attracted to Narottam Das Thakur. And, somehow or another, my life has been blessed with the articles of Narottam and with some appreciation of his service and hope that I receive his mercy. So the story of Narottam, of course, starts much prior to Narottam's actual appearance. Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, Vakreshwar Pandit, they were going through the villages, and they won the Padma River on the side of the Padma River, doing Harinam Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, as we call it. Very nicely chanting, and kirtan is going on so wonderfully, and dancing and singing the holy names, and just wonderful, wonderful scene. You can just imagine the perfect picture of the Bengal countryside with the banana trees and mango trees, and flowers blooming everywhere, and the river flowing so nicely, and the nice banks of the river there with the just enough sand so that you could get down into the river, but it doesn't encroach upon the beautiful flowers and green grass growing and all. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is going with this kirtan, and he stops. And he looks across the Padma River, and he yells out, "Oh, Narottam! Oh, Narottam!" And then he starts to manifest symptoms of ecstasy. Inanda turns to Haridas Thakur and says, "Who's Narottam?" You start going through there, and okay, no, he's not Navadvait, doesn't he? They've never heard of this Narottam. He's not one of the associates. Who is he? So Nityananda says, "My dear Lord, who is this Narottam?" Mahaprabhu explains to them that soon in the future, once we have all gone, a great personality, Narottam, will appear. And he will do great service to spread teachings of Krishna consciousness for this next wave of devotees after ourselves. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave a special gift for him. Mahaprabhu then enters into the Padma River, touches the water, steps in, up to his ankles, up to his knees, up to his waist. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enters the Padma River, the river itself just becomes ecstatic to be touched by the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mother Padmavati herself just begins to manifest such ecstasy. Now, how does a river manifest ecstasy? Well, the waves begin to roll, churn, and just go, and, you know, not like you would regularly see in the river. And the personified river, Mother Padma, manifests in front of Mahaprabhu. Folds her hands and says, "My dear Lord, how may I be of some service?" Mahaprabhu says, "I have something to leave with you. It is the manifested form of love of God." And he emanates from himself this golden hue, the young child, young man, so to speak. He says, "You keep this, and in the future, when a devotee by the name of Narottam enters your water to take bath, you deliver it to him." Mother Padmavati says, "Yes, my dear Lord. I will gladly execute any order you give me with great enthusiasm. But I have one question. How will I know Narottam? So many people come and bathe in my waters. How will I know which one is Narottam?" "When that person enters your waters, and you react in the same way you have reacted to me coming into your waters, that will be Narottam." "Yes, my dear Lord." Mahaprabhu exits the river, drops himself off. The devotees, Nityananda, Haridas, Vakreshwar, "Wow, this is special. This is one of those stories you tell around hot milk prasadam at night." So, as was mentioned, the city of Kettari is a very, very nice place. Is the king, Krishnananda Dutt, the administrator there. He has a brother, Santosh. And Krishnananda is a very magnanimous personality. He's not an unpleasant ruler by any means. Always looking out for the welfare of all the citizens in the town, seeing that everyone is properly taken care of and cared for. He has organized the town in which way the function of Kettari is to serve as a means of service to the Vaishnavas. Many sadhus are always passing through. And so he has arranged different places of residence, dharmshalas, as we would call them, where sadhus can stay, and then he'll arrange for some programs so that when a sadhu comes, everyone will come and hear him a lecture like this. So his mood is always service to the Vaishnavas. Very wealthy man, so no expense has been spared in this type of facility. He has very much a desire to have a son. So he and his wife, eventually, she becomes pregnant, and Narottam Das Thakur appears. When Narottam is born, all auspicious signs are there. Everything that indicates that this will be a wonderful personality. Nice breeze, pleasant fragrances there, perfect time of day, all the different personalities are present there, and it's a full moon day. It's interesting, we'll see as we go through the life of Narottam, all of the major events in Narottam's life took place on a full moon. His birth, getting the mercy of Mahaprabhu, his initiation, his departure, all of these things, they took place on a full moon day. So when Narottam appears, of course, his mother is just ecstatic. She is just so happy and wonderful. And in this way, the whole village becomes very, very much satisfied and pleased. And everyone, when they see him, they cry tears of happiness, and they just filled with such emotion of wanting to serve this child. And you know, Krishnananda Dutt, he just welcomes everyone and makes sure that everyone that comes to give blessings gets a gift and, you know, takes something home, and all prays for them to please bless his son, and has singers and musicians there for, you know, giving blessings and making a very nice atmosphere. And his wife, Mother Narayani, she's just so happy that there's so much wonderful, uplifting attention being given to her son. You know, the Brahmins are fed daily on behalf of Narottam like that. So in this way, the boy is the pet jewel of the village. Everyone is very happy to see him. And eventually the time comes for his grain symbol. And Krishnananda arranges not some small little affair. he's quite wealthy, so it's a big event. Everyone is invited. And at all the different crossroads, palm trees, banana trees rather, there with golden pots of water, sacred waters with coconut and all types of auspicious grains laid around them. And, you know, the roads are sprinkled with sandalwood water, so there's a very nice fragrance. And nice facilities for the guests are all set up, and sitting places, and just all kind of prasadam. Prasadam's a whole other story. So in this way, he arranges everything very, very, invites everyone. Everyone come, bless his son. So the astrologer also comes, looks at the chart. The astrologer notices a couple of things. He says, this child is going to be very exceptional. This child will actually deliver all of mankind. Therefore, his name should be Naru. Narottam, the topmost of human beings. But I see something here. Rivers will have a great impact on his life in a negative way from his parents' desire, so he should stay away from it. My father makes one, anyway, unusual thing, but it is there. So anyway, the time comes during the Anaprishan ceremony. Naru is sitting on Mother Narayani's lap, and Krishnananda Dutt takes a little bit of rice to feed into Naru's mouth, and they put it to Naru's mouth and spits it out. Father's takes again, now spits it out second time. Well, father's becoming a little nervous, and mother's a little upset. Well, you know, if the boy doesn't eat, he won't get nourished. And if, you know, the father's invited all these guests, and now the ceremony's not going smoothly. And, well, of course, the Purohit, he's never seen anything like this. He's a little confused by the whole thing. And so, third time, because you feed three times, so. spits it out. Oh, mother starts crying. Krishnananda doesn't know what to do. Sitting over in the corner there was one old Brahmin. His name was Krishnadas. He had been invited. He was from a village next door. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He said, I think I know the problem here. I can bring a solution to this if you would like. Yes, yes, yes. Panditji, please, please. Go to the kitchen, cook fresh rice, offer it to the temple deity, and then bring that. So some kirtan is engaged. Someone like Prabir does some nice kirtan, singing all the proper Vaishnava tunes, and so the mother and they arrange, so they bring the prasadam rice. And they take the prasadam rice and they feed it to Narottam, and he eagerly eats it. They give him more, takes more. So in this way, Narottam, from his very early childhood, begins to establish the importance of devotional principles. Krishnananda Dutt makes a proclamation. He says, my son will never eat anything other than prasadam, and prasadam should be distributed all throughout the kingdom. So in this way. Narottam then, you know, of course, he moves on in his growth, begins to go to school, master his studies, scholarly beyond all expectations, masters all the different Nayan logic and grammar and all the different teachings and everything he needs to know. He hears it once and he completely. Teachers are completely amazed. Such a young boy, how does he learn these things so quickly? Maybe he's an incarnation of God. He must be the manifestation of some form of the Lord. You know, they're all talking like this. And of course, such an adorable little boy. You know, sometimes we see when the kids all come on Tuesday, it's so cute to see all these kids. And, you know, I have the opportunity to go and speak in their classes over at the school. And some of these kids are just so adorable and so cute and just so enthusiastic for devotional service. And as a parent, it just brings such joy and happiness to your heart. This is how Narottam was. Everybody that saw him was just so excited to see him. Just such a wonderful little boy. And, you know, Krishnananda Dutt, he was just so happy. Everybody loved his son. And, you know, he would look upon his son and he would think, oh, my son is such a capable young boy. Now, eventually, Narottam came to an older age. Not late, but, you know, in those times, this is some 400 years ago, marriages took place a little earlier than they do in our modern society. Prabhupada mentions how the marriage would take place quite early, but the boy and girl didn't live together. You know, would be at a very young age, the marriage would be arranged, and they would still live with their mother and father until puberty was reached, and then they would move together as husband and wife. So the son, father began to think, oh, such a capable young son. I must get him married soon so he can carry on properly the family business. You know, after all, I'm getting a bit old, and I should follow the path of my father, who relinquished the kingdom to me in due course of time. And so, you know, Narottam should take up these responsibilities. Narottam was not happy to hear about this. Narottam was completely detached from all of these interests in material activities and family life and kingly rulings. And Narottam was always engaged in hearing from this aforementioned Krishnadas. And because he was the son of a prince, not everybody had access to him. But because Krishnadas was both elder and a learned Brahmin, he had free access to come to the kingdom and to the palace, and he would come and speak every day to Narottam, telling him about the pastimes of the devotees. He would fill his ears with the stories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he began to fill his ears with the stories of Rupa, Sanatan. He would describe the activities of the Goswamis. And so in this way, Narottam just eagerly drank up this nectar of Mahaprabhu and his associates and just brought it into his very being, and just this became all he cared about. He had already finished all the schooling, and you know, he went formally just to be there, but he had no interest in anything. Now, the king was seeing that Narottam was becoming very apathetic towards these types of activities, and it filled him and his wife, Narottam's mother, filled them with great anxiety, and they were simply concerned about being able to properly pass on the kingdom to their son. So in Narottam's mind, this beautiful palace, this wonderful home that he had with all facilities and servants and opulence became a mere prison. He saw it as nothing other than a prison. He just longed to be free from it, to get out of there. He would regularly plead in prayer to Mahaprabhu, please get me out of here. Give me the association of your associates. And he would call out, Gauranga, Nityananda, Advaita, please deliver me from this hell of household life. He wasn't even married yet, but he was living in the family of his, So in this way, Mahaprabhu's glories are spreading everywhere, and he's hearing about them. He's regularly listening to Krishna Das like this. And, he was a very serious devotee and great enthusiasm and love for Mahaprabhu was developing as he listened to all these things. So anyway, he would go on like this and all the different associates by name. Now, one of the associates that would be described was Srinivas. Sometimes we think of Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda as all three being the same age. And the fact of the matter is, Srinivas was considerably older than the other two. Because they all three studied under Jiva Goswami, because they all three traveled out of Vrindavan together, we think of them as like, three buddies in school together like that. I mean, transcendental, of course. But Srinivas was actually considerably older. So, this Krishnadas, this is around age of 10 this began, and it went on for like 5, maybe 6 years. And this Krishnadas would describe all these pastimes, and he would describe the activities of Srinivas. Upon hearing the name of Srinivas, Narottam developed great appreciation for him. And he felt, like a friendship, a desire for a friendship developing. And, the full description was given of the life of Srinivas and the glories and all of his activities. And, this is, of course, way before he's gone to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. So in this way, the descriptions are being given. During his childhood, of course, as we mentioned, Krishnananda was very careful that he would never go to the river. Now, this had to be a little awkward. Because in India, you live on the bank of a river, what do? You go and bathe in the river, you take your bath there, you wash your clothes there, you swim there. Krishnananda Dutt arranged everything within the palace walls. He had, a kund built that would resemble, so Narottam never had to go. One day, the boys were all running off towards the main doors of the palace, going outside, and Krishnananda said, oh, boys, where are you going? Well, we're taking Narottam and going down to the river. Krishnananda just shock and anger manifested on his face at the same time. What? You know that Narottam cannot go to the river. You boys come here. And then he very harshly instructed them, do not take my son to the river. The astrologers have warned that it will be very bad for him. We have built a nice kund right here. Everything can be achieved here. You do not need to go to the river. So in this way, Narottam began to think more and more, this prison I'm trapped in. So one night, Narottam was feeling particular distress and anxiety at his circumstance and was praying before he took rest. Oh, my dear Lord, please deliver me. All I want is your association and the association of your associates and, So that night he had a dream. And in that dream, he was instructed that, and his Mahaprabhu appeared in the dream and said, you want my mercy, you should go to the Padma River. He said, rise, go, bathe in that river and all good fortune will come to you. Disappeared. This is very early in the morning, so Narottam woke up and so he snuck out of the palace. Every kid knows how to sneak out of the house. We might think, oh, our kids are so good, they never do this. We've all done it. We've all done it. We're all expert at it. In our time also. So he snuck out of the palace, down to the Padma River. He got to the river underneath a beautiful tree. The branch of that tree is just here. And beautiful sandy beach, a bit of that sand is just here. Offered his obeisances and entered into the water of the Padma River. Up to his ankles, up to his knees, up to his waist, taking handfuls. And as he entered into the water, Mother Padmavati began to manifest symptoms of ecstasy. Waves. How does a river manifest ecstasy? Waves. And churning and rocking and hugely, and then she manifested. Narottam was amazed. He said, I have a gift for you. This golden hue of divine love manifested in front of him and entered into the body of Narottam Das Thakur. Now, when Nara was born, he was known as Shambarna. That was one description of him. He had kind of a bluish, kind of darkish complexion like Sham. When this manifested form of golden love of God had entered him, his body changed to a golden hue. As this entered into his body, he manifested all eight symptoms of love of God all at once. Struggling out of the water, he got himself to the bank of the river and collapsed in great ecstasy, tears and horripilation and calling out and feigning in and out of consciousness and just uttering the holy name and just all of these manifestations. And finally, he passed out. Back at the palace, sunrise, mother gets up, father gets up, they go about their morning activities. Narottam slept in this morning. You know, every mother likes it when the kids sleep in. Plus, of course, it's a school day. You know, oh, that's all right, you know. Well, now it's a little later, it's uncommon. Narottam's not here yet. What's going on? So mother goes to the room, Naru! Oh, Naru! Knocks on the door, no answer. She opens the door and goes in. Narottam's not there. Oh, he must have gotten up and gone to the Kunda bathe or something. She goes to look. She can't find him. Prabhu, Narottam's gone. What? What do you mean he's gone? They start to search the whole palace, every nook and cranny, looking everywhere. They can't find him. They call all the servants. Where is Narottam? Everyone look for him. Find him. He calls the guards. Go out and search the grounds. We must find Narottam. What has happened to him? This way they can't find him. He calls everyone, sends them out into the kingdom. Go and search for my son. Do not return until you've found him. So all the guards, and you know, it's a search party. They all go out looking for Narottam. One guard goes by the river and he sees this golden youth there asleep on the banks of the river. But no, that's not Narottam. Narottam's not that color. So they go back and they report to Krishnananda, we're not able to find him. Nobody's even seen him. Nothing. No one's even seen anyone like him. And the one guard said, well, you know, I did see on the banks of the river, kind of, but it's not exactly. Take us to him. So the guard brings the mother and father and entourage down. Well, you can't fool a mom. The mother knows, that's my son. That's Naru. What has happened to him? She goes and picks him up and places him on her lap, and Krishnananda Dutt places cold cloth on his head, trying to bring him back to consciousness, and he returns to consciousness slowly, and he's still manifesting these symptoms of ecstasy and calling out and feigning in and out of consciousness. She's all worried and crying. What has happened to him? Krishnananda orders him, put him on a cart, take him back to the kingdom. They bring him back to the palace, and they're so concerned. They call in the doctor, and you know, he's got some ghost or this or that, or you know, so many different things. You know, what was it? The fox oil? Oil from a fox, if you put that on his head, he'll go, oh. Narottam laughed. He said, you fools, you think like killing some innocent animal is going to cure me? Nothing will cure this. He knows what this is. So in this way, in and out for a day or so like this, mother and father are so worried, you know. His complexion is completely changed. His manner is completely changed. He can't tell his mother and father. How can he explain to them the pure symptoms of the love of God? How can you explain that? So in this way, He continues on. He subdues himself a bit, continues to hear from Krishnadas, and just charts out, how will things go on? How will I continue through this life? When will I get the chance to escape, go to Vrindavan? That chance does come. And we'll talk about that tonight. Srinivasan Das Thakur ki. So, those of you that would like, I've got some, you can come up and take darshan, and I've got some charanamrita we can pass out as well from this morning's salvation. Hare Krishna.